We're very fortunate. I was thinking all morning long. Very, very fortunate indeed to be in the holy land of Vrindavan, in the association of devotees, chanting the holy name of the Lord, hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, out of all the crazy, chaotic circumstances of life, this world is abundantly supplying. How fortunate we are that we're here doing this very focused activity. We're blessed. Somehow or another, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada came into our life, and there's a real shelter. We're continuing, and we'll see if we can complete chapter 14 this morning. Very good. We heard yesterday about the anxious position of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Eagerly awaiting the return of his brother Arjuna from Dwaraka with news about Krishna's plan. And as he's looking about, he sees the symptoms of the age of Kali, which he knows very well what that means. It means that Krishna has gone. And he shares with Bhima, another superhero brother of his, what he sees in the symptoms. So as Kali, very quickly, because Krishna has just left, and abundant signs of the darkness of this age of Kali were showing themselves. And the concluding remark that he made to Bhima was, I think that all these earthly disturbances indicate some greater loss to the good fortune of the world. The world was fortunate to have been marked with the footprints of the lotus feet of the Lord. These signs indicate that it will no longer be. He was saying that the signs of the advancement of Kali, the beginning of Kali, were in themselves fearful, but even greater is the cause of that fearfulness, the absence of Krishna. Franklin Delano Roosevelt made a very famous speech during World War II. There is nothing to fear but fear itself. Well, he got it wrong. There's nothing to fear but forgetfulness of Krishna. Maybe he got it partially right. He just didn't, you know, forgetfulness of Krishna is fear itself. A devotee should pray that they never forget Krishna, never fall away from the association of devotees who are sincere in the path to Krishna. And may Krishna protect us from that great danger. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in that way also in his many, many songs. Offer me the highest benediction, birth as Lord Brahma. And the answer is no, thank you. If that means absent Krishna. But give me the opportunity to become an insect in the home of a devotee. And the answer is yes. Because then I'll hear about Krishna and take the remnants of food offered to Krishna and be in the association of the devotees of Krishna. So, the next section is Arjuna suddenly appears. And there are three parts of this section that we're going to be looking at. One is questions about the relatives of Krishna and the residents of Dwarka. It's just like very people specific. How is this one? How is that one? Then the second section is the description of symptoms of a good king. And the causes of lamentation of a good king is failure to perform his duty. So have you failed to perform your duty? And this way, that way, that way. Some etiquette, some obligation, some charity, some protection. Are those the reasons that you're looking so forlorn? And then the final is the part that he didn't want to say but is obvious. Really, there's only one reason, that you're pale, your luster is gone, you can't even lift your head, tears are streaming from your eyes, oh great hero. There's only one reason. Krishna's gone. I'll summarize this first of these three sections, where Arjuna returns. He comes before his brother, a point of etiquette, the elder brother. He offers his obeisances before Maharaj Yudhisthira. He's the king also, the emperor. But in one sense, the Pandavas share the throne with their elder brother. But he has this etiquette or culture of offering respect to his brother. But when he pays obeisances before his brother and stands up, he can't lift his head. He can't look his brother in the eye. He hangs his head and tears are streaming from his eyes. His whole body is sobbing. Heaving with sobs. Great hero. So Yudhisthira begins to question, and he asks in a whole range of personalities, how is our very respectable grandfather Shurasena doing? You've just gone to Dwarka, and Shurasena, grandfather Shurasena is there. How is he? How is Vasudev and his brothers and his seven wives? Are they faring well? He gives names of so many different kings that are part of the Yadu dynasty, great, great heroes that were part of the Kurukshetra battle and are surviving. He asks about the sons of Krishna. He asks about Krishna directly. He asks about Balaram. And there's a very nice section we're going to discuss about the feature of Balaram. When he's asking about the other personalities, how are they faring? When he comes to Krishna, he doesn't have to ask that question. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and he's self-sufficient. So he just glorifies him. Oh, I plan this morning that we'll break up the section of verses into, I'll stop, then we can have some translation, and then go on and some further translation. So Arjuna has returned from Dwarka. 7 months have passed. And his feeling of sadness, remorse, dejection, great deep melancholy are very obvious. As Maharaj Yudhisthira sees, this is important, when he sees Arjuna's condition, his thought immediately goes to the words of Narada to get insight into why this is so, or as he sees it, it resonates with why it is so. The words of Narada were, we read yesterday, that soon the curse of the Brahmanas upon the Yadu dynasty will be fulfilled. So he's remembering the words of Narada. And then further, after that happens, Krishna will leave, and then you may also leave this world. That's, you know, Narada's giving them the script of the drama, and they just perform their part. Still he questions. And in the royal assembly, there's all the royal family, but Yudhisthira is the principal spokesperson, he's the king, and he's speaking to Arjuna. First he speaks, this is appropriate, we do this in common language, but the reason for that common language is it's appropriate, or it's a item of culture. You ask about the welfare of others. You know, the common thing is, hey man, how's it going? But how is everything? So here, it's a little more cultured. He says, my dear brother, please tell me whether our friends and relatives, such as Madhu, Bhoja, Dashara, Arha, Satvata, Andaka, and the members of the Yadu family are all passing their days in happiness. Then Shurasena, is he in a happy mood? My maternal uncle, Vasudev, and his younger brothers, are they doing well? His 7 wives, headed by Devaki, are all sisters. Are they and their sons and daughters-in-law all happy? Are Ugrasena, whose son was the mischievous Kamsa, and Ugrasena's younger brother still living? Because they're very elderly. Are Radhika and his son Kritavarma happy? Are Akrura, Jayanta, Gada, Sarana, and Shatrujit all happy? How is Balaram, the personality of Godhead and the protector of the devotees? So it's a nice purport here that we'll focus on a little bit. The members of the Yadu dynasty included Jiva souls and Vishnu tattva. Jiva tattva and Vishnu tattva. Respect goes to all of them because they're in relation to Krishna. But a special respect goes to the Vishnu tattva form of Balaram, and in a moment Aniruddha and Pradyumna, sons of Krishna, because they're in a special category. Prabhupada explains Even the Vishnu tattvas, they're differentiated. Balaram, because he's the direct expansion of Krishna, first expansion of Krishna, he's in this category called Prakash Vigraha of the Lord. And he's the protector, the verse describes. He's the protector of the devotees. So how does he protect the devotees? He protects the devotees by giving them spiritual strength. He also protects the devotees by giving spiritual knowledge and the strength to uphold and live by spiritual knowledge. He protects the devotees by expanding his own potency and investing that potency in others to perform the function of spiritual master. It's described here. Baladeva acts as the spiritual master of all devotees, and by his causeless mercy, the fallen souls are delivered. He gives the example of Lord Nityananda, who is also Balaram, Nityananda Ram, as the associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was given the service of delivering the holy name to all types of people. So Nityananda chose to deliver Jagai and Madhai, and by his mercy, they were delivered. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a disagreement between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Who delivered Jagai and Madhai? Because Lord Nityananda wants to acknowledge that Lord Chaitanya delivered Jagai and Madhai. And Lord Chaitanya wants to acknowledge that Lord Nityananda delivered Jagai and Madhai. And they're both right. But it's Lord Nityananda who exhibited compassion. I mean, because the compassion of Lord Nityananda went to Jagai and Madhai, therefore Lord Chaitanya delivered. Had Lord Nityananda not shown compassion upon Jagai and Madhai, they would not have been delivered, and therefore he was the deliverer of Jagai and Madhai. But Lord Nityananda would insist, no, 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 no. What can I do to deliver? I showed some kindness, but you delivered them. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You are Patita Pavana. So that by the mercy, specifically it's described here in the purport, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, or by the mercy of Lord Balaram, one can approach Krishna. And we can't approach Krishna on our own credential. We don't have the capacity to do that. But if we receive the mercy of Lord Nityananda or the mercy of Balaram, then we can approach Krishna. And similarly, Prabhupada writes, Lord Balaram manifests as the spiritual master. And through the agency of the spiritual master, one can approach Krishna. And thus, very special attention is being given in the purport to the special position of Lord Balaram. Then next is Pradyumna. Pradyumna was one of the sons of Krishna, and as one of the sons of Krishna, he was a powerful general. But we know that Pradyumna is also one of the Chaturvyuha, expansions of the Lord. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Anirudha. So, as the Chaturvyuha form, he's appearing as Krishna's son. But he's a direct expansion, a Vishnu Tattva expansion. But even amongst the Vishnu Tattva expansions, he simply wants to serve Krishna. As the son, he wants to serve his father. As Pradyumna of the Chaturvyuha, he wants to serve Vasudeva. So everything is moving in the spiritual world around the principle of Krishna's desire. That's the principle of devotion unto Krishna. So it's fine. We can try to serve Pradyumna, or we can serve Sankarshan, or we can serve Aniruddha, and these different manifestations of deity forms of the Lord or incarnations of the Lord. But what is their desire? To serve Vasudeva Krishna. So Pradyumna and Aniruddha, they're also mentioned. Are all the chieftain sons of Lord Krishna, such as Sushena, Charudeshna, Samba, the son of Jambavati, and Rishabh, along with their sons, all doing well? Prabhupada explains, he's just making a short list. He only mentioned four. But how many? If it was a long list? Well, 16,108 queens, each with 10 sons. So 10 times 16,000, that's 160,000. 161,080. That's a lot of sons. 161,000 sons. And each of them had 10 sons. So it's his grandchildren, sons and grandsons, because it was all boys. 1,610,800. Don't forget the 800, sorry, like, oh, 800, in, give or take. So, how could one possibly even remember the names of 1,610,800 sons? He mentions four. Continuing a theme from yesterday, this disappearance Leela of Krishna should not be thought of as ordinary, because Krishna is not ordinary. So Prabhupada very gently, very elegantly remarks, it is better to refrain from comparing the Lord's position to ours. And this simple truth is easy to understand when we consider the family of Krishna. 1,610,800 family members. Hare Krishna. Also, Shrutadeva, Uddhava, and others, Nanda and Sunanda, and other leaders of liberated souls who are constant companions of the Lord, are protected by Balaram and Krishna. Are they doing well in their respective functions? Do they, who are eternally bound in friendship with us, remember our welfare? Now, all these personalities are perfected souls. They're eternal associates of Krishna. They're liberated. So what's the question of asking, how are they doing? In one sense. But because they're under the protection of Krishna and Balaram, they're doing well. Even if, in this circumstance, they're gone. They're doing well. We may miss Perfected Souls Association, but we can know they're doing well. And there's a theme that's going to emerge, and that is because this theme of protection. Because overall, there's Maharaj Yudhisthira. He's the king. And we've been hearing about, you know, the duty. We're going to hear further about the duties of a king to offer protection. So those liberated, perfected souls, even in their descending into this world, they're protected by Krishna Balaram. But this is their liberation. This is their perfection. They're marginal living entities. They're tatastha shakti. Marginal means they can be influenced this way, or they can be influenced that way. And they're influenced that way. Because their sense of being always seeking the protection of Krishna and Balaram. And because they're always seeking the protection of Krishna and Balaram, guess what? They're always protected. Even their marginal potency, their position is as good as Krishna, even they're not. They're in another category altogether, but under the protection of Krishna, they can act as good as Krishna. So Prabhupada writes, the eternal servitors of the Lord, to the eternal servitors of the Lord is pleased to give all protection at all times. The liberated souls therefore never think themselves to be as free as the Lord or as powerful as the Lord. They never think that way. And the materialists always think that way. And so they're categorically different, the devotees. Just to take that position of dependence upon Krishna, factual dependence upon Krishna. And now Yudhisthira starts to speak directly about Krishna. Is Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives pleasure to the cows, the senses, and the brahmanas, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, enjoying the pious assembly in Dwarakapuri, surrounded by his friends? So in this verse, Krishna is addressed in different ways. His name is specifically mentioned, but Bhagavan and Govinda and Bhaktavatsala. He's the dear friend of the devotee. So you have to listen carefully, because this is very beautiful and very subtle. Prabhupada speaks of, so these names, Bhagavan, Bhaktavatsala, Govinda, meaning he gives pleasure, Govinda, he gives pleasure to the cows and to the senses. Now back to the perfected souls and the conditioned souls. Those who have purified their senses by devotional service of the Lord can render unto him real service and thereby derive transcendental pleasure out of such purified senses. You follow? Each point becomes, he builds one point upon the next point, upon the previous point. So, Krishna gives pleasure to the cows and to the senses. But one will experience that pleasure only if one has purified senses through the medium of devotional service. Then they can experience the pleasure of the senses, the spiritual happiness of the senses. In contrast, the impure conditioned living entity can't derive any pleasure from the senses, being illusioned by false pleasures of the senses. He becomes the servant of the senses. Godas. Therefore, we need his protection. Even for our own interest. That interest, what is it? Something everybody is interested in. We want to be happy. Who's running around? I want to be miserable. Please give me misery. We all want to be happy. So his protection is needed, even to see to our own interest. But the interest of the devotee is to see to the Lord's interest. That's devotional service. And when we engage in devotional service, our own interest is fulfilled, which is to see to his interest, which brings our happiness. And we're protected. Now back to Govinda. He's the protector of the cows. And he's the protector of the senses. He gives pleasure to the cows and to the senses. Krishna upholds cow protection in Brahminical culture. In a society where there isn't cow protection and Brahminical culture, what happens to that society? They're in violation of Krishna's interest. They're put in prison. They're put in jail. It's called the material world, where there's untold suffering. So one is under the protection of the warden of the prison, and the other is under the protection of Krishna. The harsh treatment of the warden of the prison, or the gentle, sweet and happy position of the protection of Krishna. Prabhupada writes, without cow protection and cultivation of Brahminical qualities in human society, at least a section of the members of society, no human civilization can prosper at length. It's a very beautiful purport. So now he goes into what are the qualities of Brahminical culture. So groups of people, that's a society. Or the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, a subset within the bigger society. But within this society of devotees, this cultivation of Brahmana quality is our challenge. You know, we're uncultured. Contaminated, conditioned souls, impure, disturbed, you know, Kali Yuga-ites, denizens and victims of Kali Yuga. So now what? What is our hope? That in our challenge, the challenge is to become situated in Brahminical quality. So he lists nice qualities. Just even to hear the qualities is nice. Truthfulness, equanimity, sense control, forbearance, simplicity, general knowledge, transcendental knowledge, firm faith in the Vedic wisdom. When one has these qualities, then one can be called a brahmana. The protection and preservation of Brahminical culture is to develop such qualities, because when one has those qualities, then one has the capacity to see the Lord. And then one needs to go further. What's further than that? Seeing the Lord. Being engaged in service unto the Lord. In different moods of service, according to the evolved, mature stages of rasa. after passing brahminical perfection, one has to become a devotee of the Lord. So then Prabhupada goes back and says, without having these qualities, you can't be truly a devotee of the Lord. I guess we better work on developing nice qualities if we're going to be counted as devotees of the Lord. So that we can not only be engaged in physical acts of service, but we can be experiencing the relationship with Krishna that is meant to be the medium of that exchange, the exchange of affection between ourselves and Krishna, encapsulated by these nice qualities, brahminical qualities. The stage of a devotee which attracts the transcendental affection of the Lord does not develop unless one has developed the qualities of a brahmana, as above mentioned. We're going back to Yudhisthira's speaking of is Krishna happily enjoying the association of the residents of Dwarka, addressing him as Govinda and Bhaktavatsala and Bhagavan. The Lord is inclined to a brahmana of quality and not of false prestige. Those who are less than a brahmana by qualification cannot establish any relation with the Lord. Just as fire cannot be kindled from raw earth unless there is wood. Although there is a relation between wood and raw earth. See the connection. Where does wood come from? It comes from the earth. What is the wood of a tree made up of? It's transformation of what comes from the earth. So if you want a fire, you can't just burn the earth. You have to burn the wood. What's the wood? It's the evolved state, a particular arrangement of earth. And same, what is a devotee? It's taking from the qualities of a brahmana and developing attraction for Krishna. And from that attraction from Krishna, then there's this reciprocation of affection between Krishna and his devotee. We want that. And to experience that, we have to have these nice qualities of a devotee. But Krishna is very kind. And he helps us. He's setting us on the path to begin with through his expansion, Lord Balaram, to take up devotional service. And then we take it up. And he bestows upon us, if we're sincere, he bestows upon us the proper qualities to attract Krishna, like the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The very nice chapter. Where in 12th chapters where Krishna says, ideal is mind always fixed on me, intelligence always engaged in service unto me, in this condition, one abides in me always without a doubt. But if you can't accomplish that, engage in the regulations of bhakti yoga. And you'll develop the desire to come to that position. But supposing someone says, oh, I can't practice the regulations of bhakti yoga. Okay, just try to work for me. Well, I tried working for you, but I've got some issues, and so I don't know if I can do that all the time. Okay. Try to become self-situated and give up the results of your work, your fruitive work. Well, I tried that, but I'm struggling. And okay. Cultivate knowledge. Better than that is meditation. Fix your mind. Better than that is this position of detached work, offering the results unto Krishna, going back up the ladder again. But the fulfillment of all of this is this position of devotion. And when that devotee comes before me, I become very pleased. Then he describes the qualities of the devotees that please him. Guess what? Where those qualities come from that Krishna is pleased by? They come from Krishna. Krishna decorates his devotee with qualities that please Krishna. And then Krishna smiles. Oh, this is such a nice devotee. See all these nice qualities he has. So this merciful nature of Balaram, or Nityananda Ram, or the spiritual master, is embedded within this description of the absence of Krishna from the world is an understanding of how to bring Krishna back. And with the bringing of Krishna back, the qualities of Brahminical culture and protection that comes from Krishna to those who are very dear to Krishna, his devotees, and the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, and the cows. And following from that also, the elderly, the children, the women, are also to be given protection. But on the strength of these other principles, those other principles naturally, Brahminical culture and cow protection, are of those five items of protection most important. Almost finished with this wonderful purport. Since the Lord is all perfect in himself, there could not be any question of his welfare, and Maharaj Yudhisthira refrained from asking this question. He simply inquired about his residential place. Is he enjoying all of that which has come from him, his abode, his devotees, his dear friends? The Lord stays only where pious men assemble and takes pleasure in their glorifying the Supreme Truth. So Maharaj Yudhisthira is wanting to know how Krishna is enjoying. Not is he enjoying, but how is Krishna enjoying? And so once again, he enjoys in the company of his devotees. And he decorates his devotees with qualities that bring him happiness. And he gives those decorations of qualities to those who are in the position of Brahminical or tolerant, truthful, sense control, forbearing, simple, cultivation of knowledge, clean. So these are all things that we can consciously develop, especially when there's proper guidance and training. How these, in the atmosphere that's so different, to cultivate these within this world, within the age of Kali. We can cultivate these qualities and strive to understand the source of all of them. Strive to understand Krishna through the scriptures and through the guidance of qualified devotees. This is our path, our process. Just after Krishna speaks, excuse me, Maharaj Yudhisthira speaks about Krishna in this wonderful way. It gets more wonderful. He speaks in very poetic language about Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka, surrounded by the ocean of the relatives, the friends and associates in the Yadu dynasty. And by their being in that situation in Dwarakapuri, in that transcendental happy mood, just by them doing that, they're giving welfare, protection, and general progress to the entire universe. I'll read the verse and expand a little bit from what Prabhupada writes in the purport. Maharaj Yudhisthira says, "The original personality of Godhead, the enjoyer, and Balaram, the primeval Lord Ananta, are staying in the ocean of the Yadu dynasty for the welfare, protection, and general progress of the entire universe. And the members of the Yadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of the Lord, are enjoying like the residents of the spiritual world." But going back to something from the previous purport, where Prabhupada writes, "Without cow protection and cultivation of brahminical qualities in human society, at least a section of the members of society, no human civilization can prosper at any length." Directly just reading from the purport. So, Prabhupada spoke like this, that we can't expect the whole world, everyone in the whole world will become devotees and become Krishna conscious and rise early and attend Mangal Arati, and even all in Vrindavan, they're not going to do that. Although they start pretty early in Vrindavan. But he gave percentages. If just 5%, there's a whole series of quotes giving, you know, this 5% thing. 5% of the world's population, that's a lot of people. But if just a portion of the society became actually situated in these things that are mentioned here, brahminical culture, cow protection, service to Krishna, focused devotion and service to Krishna, the whole society will benefit. Here in this verse, it's the whole universe will benefit. And what ways will they benefit? Prosperity, welfare, protection. So, the poetry of the Bhagavatam is being explained in the purport. Prabhupada expresses that Krishna is in the spiritual world, but he appears in his Purusha form, his portion of a plenary portion form, as Garbhadakshai Vishnu and Shiradakshai Vishnu. And Shiradakshai Vishnu has his own planet within this universe, Svetadvip, and it's the topmost part of the universe, the vertical dimension of the universe. There's the pole star, the same place where Dhruva went to reside. Yes? And Prabhupada would sometimes describe that just as astronomy, Vedic astronomy, describes the circumambulation of all planets around the pole star. And, you know, the heavenly bodies, they move around that pole star. Prabhupada described this like a chandelier. He was describing how the structure of the universe is set up and how he wanted the Vedic planetarium in Mayapur, with this chandelier-like thing of all the planets suspended from one strand, and that top strand is the pole star, and all the other planets, they're moving. Not all at the same speed, but they're moving, orbiting, just like when you circumambulate Tulsi Devi. You keep Tulsi Devi to your right side and you circumambulate. Not everybody moves at the same speed, but we're all moving around Tulsi Devi. So the planets, and there's this vertical, if you look at it flat, like you might look at the sky, it looks like they're all in one plane, but they're not all in one plane, they're different. You know, looking at the chandelier from the side, as people are going to look at the structure of the universe from the dome of the Mayapur, one of the three domes of in Mayapur, this new temple, they'll look horizontally and see the different layers or hierarchies or vertical positions of the planets. But look at it from the bottom and you'll see everything is circumambulating clockwise around the pole star. So back to this verse in the first canto. Yudhisthira is envisioning here in Dwarka, there's Lord Vishnu, Krishna, who's reclining on the bed of Anantashesha in the form of Lord Balaram. And the ocean, the Sweta Dweep, the white island, is in the middle of the milk ocean, which is the milk white-like residence of the Yadu dynasty. They're the ocean. And then there's Balaram and Krishna residing, taking the shelter of the resting place of Lord Balaram. As above, so below. Then, because this island of Svetadvipa is at the topmost, Prabhupada then describes, the residents of the Yadu dynasty are like the residents of Vaikuntha. They're so happy. So beyond the seven layers of the covering, so we're up at the topmost part of the universe, then the seven layers of covering, what's on the other side of the layers of the covering of the universe? It's the causal ocean. Prabhupada writes, like footballs or soccer balls floating on the causal ocean are so many universes. We were inside, now we're outside the universe, and there's the causal ocean. And on the other side or beyond the causal ocean, what is there? The vast spiritual sky. And within that vast spiritual sky, there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets. And on those Vaikuntha planets, once again, we find, as above, we find Lord Narayan and the residents of Vaikuntha. He calls Mahapaurushikas, the servants of the Mahapurusha, the Supreme Person, are the servants of the Supreme Person. And the servants of the Supreme Person, they're enjoying Vaikuntha. Although they're servants, this is a very simple point. In the palace of the king, there's many servants of the king. But the servants of the king are in the same palace that the king is in. They're enjoying the same food as the king. They're enjoying opulent clothing like the king because they're servants of the king. Although they're servants, they're enjoying on the platform of the king. And so the Mahaparoshikas, they're happy as the Supreme Lord is happy. And so he's likening the residents of Dwarka, were so fortunate to associate with Krishna and Balaram as being so happy. Krishna's happy and they're happy. That's the vision of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Next he says, simply by administering comforts at the lotus feet of the Lord, which is the most important of all services, the queens in Dwaraka, headed by Satyabhama, induced the Lord to conquer the demigods. Well, he's the controller of the demigods, so there's no problem for him to conquer the demigods. Thus the queens enjoys things which are prerogatives of the wives of the controller of thunderbolts. So although their happiness is like that of the residents of Vaikuntha, their opulence is like that of the denizens of heaven. So Prabhupada describes, since Satyabhama is singled out, Satyabhama, riding on the back of Garuda, she also travels as Krishna travels on the back of Garuda. She sometimes travels with Krishna, so she rides on the back of Garuda. When Krishna went to kill Narakasura, Satyabhama was accompanying him. And after Narakasura was killed and the 16,100 queens that were captive, or princesses that were captive, were begging Krishna to become his wives, or for him to become their husband. So Krishna agreed. We have no shelter but you. So Krishna agreed, I'll give you shelter. Then Krishna went with Satyabhama to visit the heavenly realm. And when Satyabhama and Krishna were in the presence of Indra and Aditi, his mother, Aditi was so pleased with the fine qualities of Satyabhama, she gave her a benediction. The benediction she gave was, you will remain ever youthful as long as Krishna is with you on earth. And second, she said, let me show you the beautiful features of Indraloka and the heavenly realm. Well, that caused a problem because Satyabhama saw such beautiful things like the Parijata tree. She asked Krishna, can you bring one back? So Krishna was about to take the Parijata tree and Indra said, no, you can't take the Parijata tree. This is just for heaven. Krishna is the master and Indra is the servant. And the servant is saying, no, don't take. So Krishna said, yes, I'm taking. And Indra said, no, you can't take. So there was a fight. And guess who won? Krishna! So Satyabhama had a Parijata tree in Dwaraka. And not only a Parijata tree, but all the opulences of Bhagavan Krishna were decorating her palace. It's described that the palaces of Dwaraka were so brilliantly studded with jewels that they didn't even need lamps at night because the jewels were radiating light. And the palaces were made of such substance that even in the hottest season, it was cool. Prabhupada writes, like air-conditioned rooms, without air conditioning, no electric bill, no repairman, no advertisements on billboards to come buy one. Opulence is unprecedented. Satyabhama decorated her palace with festoons and flags simply to announce, this is where Krishna lives. Of course, there's 16,107 more of them. But she's just wanting to glorify her wonderful husband, Krishna. One time, when they went to attend the solar eclipse in Kurukshetra, Satyabhama and many of the other queens, they gathered around Draupadi because they had never met before. And Draupadi was amazed. Satyabhama was amazed. Krishna is satisfying 16,000 queens, but you're satisfying 5 husbands. And they're the Pandavas. They're these powerful Kshatriyas. How do you do it? Do you put some mixture in their food? Some kind of herb or potion to like control them or something? How do you do it? Draupadi scolded her, said, never think like that. If a husband ever even got a hint of an idea, something like that, it would be terrible. No, it's not by some magic or some herbal potion. It's by service. And then she described the mood of how she served the Pandavas. She was, her husbands were taking rest, she was the last to take rest, and she was the first one up in the morning to tend to all of their needs in the morning. When she would prepare meals, she would prepare meals in such a way that after they had taken their meal, only then would she consider taking her meal. And in so many ways, she just described the art of, well, the language of Satyabhama was, how do you control your husbands? She said, it's not how you control, that very language is wrong. But they became so happy. And when they become so happy, or as they are so happy, they're satisfied. And that way everything goes on very nicely. Very nice section of Mahabharata for any of you who are householders or contemplating household life. Very nice, especially in the ladies' department. Very nice understanding from Mahabharata. So after this nice instruction from Draupadi, they returned back to Dwarka. And when Krishna departed, Arjuna was left in charge of the queens. And after some time, feeling great pain in separation, Krishna, Prabhupada describes here that Satyabhama, along with some of the other queens, they entered deep into the forest and underwent severe penances. So the verse, again, specifically says that Satyabhama and the other queens, by serving, the topmost of all important things to do is to serve the lotus feet of Krishna. They serve the lotus feet of Krishna in such a way that all facility, because he's Bhagavan, all opulences were happily provided by Krishna. And after all, why not? Because he's the proprietor of everything. So all of the other accumulating of these parijata trees and other things were just leelas of enriching the pastimes of love between Krishna and the residents of Dwarka, and in particular here mentioned as the queens. Next, Yudhisthira describes about the heroes of the Yadu dynasty. Although they're heroes, they feel the protection of Krishna, the powerful, invincible arms of Krishna. Not he was a, you know, big muscle-bound person. He's invincible. It's his spiritual prowess that through his powerful arms he protected the members of the Yadu dynasty. And as a result, in all respects, they were fearless. So this point once again of protection and fearlessness when being protected, it's a theme emerging out of this chapter. the jiva needs to be protected by the Supreme Lord. And when protected by the Supreme Lord, although they're jiva, they're invincible. And they're feeling great happiness, and that's shelter and protection of the Lord. Prabhupada comments, they also, the Yadu dynasty, not just the queens, but the whole Yadu dynasty, they enjoyed unlimited opulence. The Sudharma assembly hall constructed by Vishwakarma was brought to Dwarka. Although no one is entitled to such opulence, the Dwarzanas of Dwarka are entitled to such opulence because they're servants of Krishna. And in that servant of Krishna position, they're not thinking of themselves as enjoyers of opulence. That's protection. If one is thinking, I'm the enjoyer of some opulence, that's one's fall down. That's material consciousness. But there's no material consciousness in the residence of Dwarka, and therefore they were protected by the powerful arms of Krishna. Even surrounded by unlimited opulence. On the other hand, so this is now protection and fearlessness. On the other hand, a conditioned soul is always fearful. And a liberated soul is never fearful. Prabhupada gives the example just like a small child seated in the lap of their mother or father. They're not feeling fear. But let that child just walk some number of feet away from their mother and father and some startling noise and until they're in the shelter of their mother and father, and then they're okay. So a devotee is like that. A position of fearlessness is feeling the shelter of Krishna. Prabhupada expands this point very, very beautifully, so I'm going to read it. He's asking the question, what's the cause of fear or the cause of fearlessness? Because in Bhagavad Gita, for the soul, the jayate, mriyate, vakadachin, they're not born, they don't die, they're eternal. So what's the question of fear? What is the cause of fearfulness? So he explains this way. A tiger in a dream is the example. A person may be fearful of a tiger in a dream, but another man who is awake by his side sees no tiger. Right next to each other. The tiger is a myth for both of them. But one is fearful, the other is not fearful. The man forgetful of his awakened life is fearful. Whereas the man who has not forgotten his awake position is not at all fearful. Similarly, the members of the Yadu dynasty were fully awake in their service to the Lord, and therefore there was no tiger for them to be afraid of. And then Prabhupada concludes, but even if there was a tiger, Krishna would protect him from the tiger. But most of the sense of what people are fearful about is illusion. It's an illusory object that one misidentifies with and feels fear. The position of, that's where fearfulness comes from. And fearlessness is the protection and shelter of Krishna's very powerful arms and Krishna's very soothing lotus feet. So that's the residence of Dwarka. Yudhisthira Maharaj is appreciating. We're just about finished with the chapter. Now he specifically speaks to Arjuna. This is the next section of this group of cluster of verses. That is, the qualities of a kshatriya, the duties of a kshatriya, that if there's discrepancy, one may feel despondency. If you fail to observe proper etiquette, or you're neglectful in your duty, and you understand that there's duty and you're neglectful, you don't do it, or you somehow can't do it, or somehow you did it wrong, or that feeling of discrepancy, dharma shaglani, was like Maharaj Parikshit after he put the snake around the sage, Shamik Rishi, and left. Even as he was doing it and walking away, he was feeling, this is very bad. And we all know what that feeling is. Why did I do this or say this or why? That feeling is, he's saying, are you feeling like that? You're looking so unhappy. Is it because of some discrepancy? So now he gives a list of discrepancies. My dear brother Arjuna, please tell me whether your health is all right. You appear to have lost your bodily luster. Is this due to others disrespecting or neglecting you because of your long stay in Dwarka? Did you overstay? You came an unwelcome guest in Dwarka. You stayed too long and people were thinking, I wish he'd leave. It's nice having a visitor, but it's, you know, it's too much. Has someone addressed you in unfriendly words or threatened you? Could you not give charity to one who asked? Or could you not keep your promise to someone? Prabhupada chooses in the purport to speak about charity. A king should give charity. A householder, even if not a king. I see some householders who aren't kings here. You should also give charity. Especially a king. Someone comes to a king. I need help. Get out of here. That's what, when Dronacharya went to Drupad, that's what happened. Get out of here. But you made a promise. Get out of here. He was insulted. His attachment to his newfound position of being king, but it was the cause of a big offense. And it caused his downfall. He lost his kingdom and he was fortunate he got half his kingdom back. So, charity is to be given. And you make a promise to give some charity, you must give. Even if it doesn't happen at that moment, you must give. And if you fail to do so, it's a cause for lamentation. It's a discrepancy in the performance of duty. We have this wonderful example of Katvanga Maharaj. You know this story? Katvanga Maharaj? Very nice story. Ninth canto Bhagavatam. He was particularly known to be charitable. He was a great devotee. And very austere. Very austere. But he was very charitable. So people would come to him all the time. And he would regularly give charity and give charity and give charity. So one time it was an entire fast for some long number of days. Anybody know the number of days? 80 days or something like that? A long fast. And then it was time, on an auspicious time, to break the fast. So he was fasting from everything. Then they made a royal feast with all opulence and ghee and everything. Probably would have had a stomachache if it ate all that. He sat down to break his fast. Just as he was sitting down to break his fast, one Brahmin came into the palace. Immediately he got off his throne, sat the Brahmin on his throne, said, "You please take." The Brahmin ate to his satisfaction and left. So it was half gone. So then he sat down to take what was left, the remnants of a Brahmana. Very nice. Mahaprasad. And just as he was about to take, some mendicant came, said he was very hungry. So he gave the other half. But there was some water left. And some man, oh, there's another part of this. Some man came with some dogs. "My dogs are hungry. Have something to eat." He gave to the dogs, and then there was water left. And then one beggar, poor man, not a sadhu, but just a man off the street, "I'm thirsty." So he gave the water to the thirsty man. And offered his prayers to the personality of Godhead. "I'm so fortunate that I'm able to offer charity to all these parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, and there's something in my means to serve them." He was so happy. And then it turns out it was Brahma and Lord Shiva and various demigods who were presenting themselves in these different forms just to test Katvanga Maharaj. So he's honored for his quality of charity as well as pure devotion to Krishna. So as devotees, we should be charitable. And if we're not, or if we promise charity and we can't deliver it, or because we're stuck and we don't, we're miserly and we don't, we're thinking, "Well, I didn't mean it," or something, then that's a cause of lamentation. Next, "You are always the protector of the deserving living beings, such as brahmanas, children, cows, women, and the diseased. Could you not give protection when they approached you for shelter?" So, mighty armed Arjuna certainly wants to give protection to anyone who comes for shelter. Were you unable to do so? And sure enough, there was a situation where he was unable to give protection to the queens. Although he was this Maharati, greatly powerful Kshatriya. And he gives that in his answer coming up in the next chapter. Is this the cause? You were asked to give protection? You were to give protection in a circumstance and you were unable to provide it? Then Yudhisthira Maharaj says, "Have you contacted a woman of impeachable character? Or have you not properly treated a deserving woman? Have you been defeated on the way from Dwarka by someone who is inferior or equal to you?" So these two points Prabhupada speaks about contacting a woman. In this, contacting is just a nice way of saying having some sexual relation with an impeachable woman. So the impeachable, Prabhupada chooses to address this in terms of the adhamma and uttama type of contact, where as a kshatriya, for a kshatriya to have contact with a brahmani, a woman of a brahmana caste, that's the adhamma. It's not to be done. But a woman of kshatriya or vaishya or shudra, then that's okay. That's uttama. And he gives examples. Vyasade or Parashara Muni contacting Satyavati. And thereby Vyasadeva was born. So that's okay. At least, you know, from the marital standpoint, the hierarchy of the position of birth. Our lives are not ruled by these principles, because in the age of Kali, all these things have no application, because nobody is of quality by birth, because they're not following the proper sangskaras. But just like in the example of Romaharshan Sutta, the Anuloma and Pratiloma marriage. He was the child that was born of a Brahmana woman, but her husband was a Kshatriya man. But it happened, and Romaharshan Sutta was born as her son. But that's the Pratiloma kind of marriage, or the Adama kind of marriage. And as a result, no one spoke anything until he made this offense against Balaram. And then they began understanding or speaking about this is not a surprise, because the proper arrangement was not made for the marriage of this Brahmani woman. Now, again, this is in Without regard for the Pancharatrika system. When the Pancharatrika system, birth is not the issue, but qualification through training and proper direction given by qualified followers of the Pancharatrika system, then regardless of birth, but by quality, one has to be decided what is one's duty or what is one's position in society. The point that Prabhupada is highlighting in the purport is the concern was to not disturb social tranquility or the consecration of proper social order. Have you been the cause of disturbing the proper social order? That's so. Then you have cause for this disturbed state of mind. The other was this, you know, did you, in the course of returning from Dwarka, did you lose in a battle to one who was equal or inferior? Because for a Kshatriya to lose to an inferior is shameful. And even to lose for an equal. He mentions Karna, Arjun fighting with Bhishma Dev and being defeated by Bhishma Dev, that's okay, because he's vastly superior by age and strength and prowess. But to be in a difficult position in fighting with Karna, that was a big problem. But Krishna directly intervened. And even the means was not the best. So these are just Kshatriya codes, there's no Kshatriyas here, so it's not so relevant to us. But so we can understand these cultural points. Then two other verses and the chapter is over. Have you not taken care of old men and boys who deserve to dine with you? So the householders, Prabhupada comments, is the duty of a householder first, to feed all the children and the old members of the family. Any brahmanas, any persons who are invalid. And then Prabhupada says, and then you go to the door and call out three times. Anyone out there who's hungry? Of course, that may be appropriate here. But, you know, in the West, it's not appropriate. There's nobody out there. They're in suburbia, and there's just trees and grass. So, but this is a duty, and you're neglectful in your duty. You should be concerned. Some unpardonable mistake which is considered to be abominable. Sudurachar. Have you done something that just rather than this detail, that to you, just in general, is some discrepancy in your duties as a kshatriya, some abominable behavior. Is that why you're feeling despondent? Then he concludes, actually, I know the reason. The reason is Krishna has gone. Is it that you are feeling empty for all time? Because you might have lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna. Oh, my brother Arjuna, I can think of no other reason for you becoming so dejected. So all this inquisitiveness of Yudhisthira was all leading to this one question. Is Krishna gone? But in the course of asking all these other questions, we've gotten some nice Krishna katha. We've gotten some nice cultural points, some points of etiquette, and the understanding that we should have some concern for executing our duties properly. Ultimately, our duty is to serve Krishna. And if Krishna's gone, what do we have? We have to bring Krishna consciousness back into the center of our lives every moment. Hare Krishna. Breakfast or questions? Any questions?
Maharaj, when, like I hear, or it's a normal experience, when we hear from authorities, a transformation of consciousness takes place, even if it is an audio lecture, recorded one.
Even if it is?
A recorded one, not live. So, I wonder, Maharaj, like, how exactly it happens? Like,
how exactly?
Science.
How exactly what?
How it happens, Maharaj.
How exactly does it happen?
By hearing this change of consciousness.
Srinvata svakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantaksto yavadrani vidunoti saritsatam. That's how it happens. Nashta prayeshu avadreshu nichambhagu tisaneya. That's how it happens.
Huh?
Yeah, that's what's happening. So, Krishna gets out a broom and the coverings of consciousness are subtle and illusory. The sound vibration is Krishna. The vibrator isn't Krishna, but the sound vibration is Krishna. And when the sound vibration of Krishna contacts the illusory covering, because the sound vibration goes right to the soul, because the sound vibration of Krishna and the soul are of the same quality, it goes right to the soul, it dissipates the covering. Yes, Maharaj, but how exactly does it happen? That you have to ask Krishna. He's the controller of his potencies. He extends them and withdraws them. When Krishna sees the factual act of a sincere soul taking the time to receive this transcendental vibration, Krishna acts from within the heart of that soul and dissipates that covering, which is but illusion. Now, how does Krishna move his energies? You have to ask Krishna. But he moves his energies. Nita? Who's? Okay. Here's a question that says, whenever I hear or read any teaching about cultivating brahminical qualities, or goodness qualities, my thoughts become affected, thinking, oh, it's so difficult. I can never do that, and so on. I'm not sincere, and so on. What to do? If everything depended upon our power, this would be appropriate. Fortunately, it doesn't. So, the fortunately is Krishna, or the Krishna factor. Here's how you should, when those moments come, here's how you should process it. Hit the pause button. Don't dwell in that thought. And what your attention should go is to go back some steps. That is, so, adau shadhata taksadu sangatata bhajana kriya. So, you engage in your devotional practices with the intent of connecting with Krishna. It's the Krishna channel. You just try to tune into the Krishna channel. You're chanting, and that sound vibration is Krishna, and you're connecting with the Krishna channel. You're in, harmony. You're vibrating with Krishna. Krishna's vibrating, awakening the soul. And just on the strings, try to stay there. The other things will come next. So as your attraction for Krishna awakens, in the thought of being before Krishna, it's like the visual image, one visual image is a pin that has a point and a shaft and a head. So the pin, that which enters into the cloth, is the point. That, and then follows that as the shaft and follows that as the head, or the thread that you're pulling with the pin, the needle. So the point is sadhana or bhajana kriya. You're chanting and hearing. Then you hear this nice thought, says, oh, if I want to be this nice devotee, if I want to be a devotee, I have to have qualities. So another way of saying the same is, if I want to come before Krishna, I should desire that Krishna would be pleased when I come before Krishna. But I look at myself and I don't see those qualities that are pleasing to Krishna. So now you're back, you release the pause button, now you go forward and say, on the strength of this one desire, strengthen the desire to try to please Krishna by proper sadhana, hearing and chanting. And then, okay, a quality that says cleanliness. Krishna is pleased. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is something that I can do. I can be clean. Yes? No, be clean. Okay. But to do that even, I need Krishna's help. Because alone, what can I do? So Krishna will help. Truthful. Speak the truth. Don't speak something else. Speak the truth. Well, what about when it hurts? Speak the truth. And why? Go back to the point of the pin. To please Krishna. Not, your own strength or so you feel better about yourself, but to please Krishna. Then all kinds of resources come. Krishna starts decorating you with nice qualities. Because where do those nice qualities come from? Krishna. What is Krishna looking for? That we just want to be in a relationship with him. And why not? I want to be in a relationship with Krishna. We all want relationships. Why not a relationship with Krishna? Well, I don't have the qualification. Krishna will bring the qualification. Because he has a big treasury of qualifications. And he can just decorate one by one by one. That's the sense of dependent. Even to please Krishna, we're dependent upon Krishna to please Krishna. That's nice. And that's reality. Here's the mistake. Well, you feel bad. I have to do it myself. That's the mistake. You can't do it yourself. Krishna can do it. I make some effort, so it takes two things. Endeavor and mercy. Think of when you get in that, another thing you can do, when you get in that, you know, what you wrote here. Think of Mother DeSoto trying to bind Krishna. She can't bind Krishna. She wants to bind Krishna. She is Mother DeSoto. She gets more rope. She still can't bind Krishna. So many ropes. Still can't bind Krishna. Endeavor must be there. But mercy also must be there. So, what qualification do I have to receive Krishna's mercy? I'm not Mother Jasoda. She has the qualification. But what Krishna is looking for is that it's very simple. The strength that comes from sadhana, hearing and chanting, awakening the desire to be in a favorable way in our relationship with Krishna. That's all. And Krishna decorates. However long it takes, however many ropes you put together, however many efforts you make, Krishna will help. Krishna wants to see, do you really want a relationship with me? Are you sure? And the answer is yes. And then Krishna decorates. That's very nice. And then when we have that some little amount of that quality, we understand it wasn't our effort, it was Krishna. That's the happiness. The happiness is not the quality. The happiness is the reciprocation of Krishna. There's one. Is that a question in Hindi? Looks like the same person.
Same. Two different persons.
महाराज मुझे कृष्ण भावना अमृत में आने को 5-6 साल हो गए हैं परंतु मैं दृढ़ सिंसियर नहीं हूं और ना ही प्रयास कर पाती हूं कैसे मेरे अंदर सिंसियरिटी लाऊं
दिस इज कृष्णा माता जी आस्किंग क्वेश्चन शी इज सेइंग दैट आई हैव बीन इन कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस फॉर 5-6 इयर्स बट I do not find determined sincerity in me. How can I become sincere?
How to become sincere? Prabhupada's very simple answer. There's two simple answers. By being sincere. And the other is by associating with those who are sincere. So we can go back. Being sincere. Part of being sincere is being clear what you want. If you're not clear what you want, you can't be sincere. Jagatananda Pandit wrote in his Prema Vivarta, do not make the great mistake of trying to cross a river with 1 foot in 2 different boats, because you'll fall in the river. You won't cross the river. Rather, put both feet very firmly in 1 boat, and then you can cross the river. Similarly, if you want Krishna, don't keep 1 foot in the material and 1 foot in the spiritual and try to reach Krishna. Crossing the river is the metaphor. Put both feet firmly in the boat. So that's sincere. You're very clear what you want. And when you can be a sincere materialist. Then be a sincere materialist. But you're going to be a sincere spiritualist. Be sincere. Put both feet. And to do that, besides being clear, then there has to be some trust. I trust if I put both feet in this boat, it's okay. Because there's a good captain, and there's favorable breezes, and it's a good boat. I can get to the other side. The problem with sincerity is we're not clear and we hesitate. Part of it is we don't trust ourselves, but it's also we don't trust Krishna. And this requires you have confidence in Krishna. And the teachings of devotion. They'll take me there. Then I can put both feet. And another dimension of sincerity is purpose. This is also, this is another way of saying what, being clear. I want Krishna. I want relationship with Krishna. And relationship with Krishna means for Krishna. He's the object. Not for me, but for Krishna. That's sincere. So we don't start with 100% for Krishna and I don't require anything for me. It starts with, you know, 90-something% for me and something for Krishna. So sincerity can also grow as we see, as I give to Krishna, that's what my real happiness is. So, and so again, it's being clear. You have to take the time to look within yourself and be clear what you want. I spent 12 hours with teenagers in America discussing this point. The approach was self-honesty. What do you want? Be honest with yourself. What do you want? Look within yourself and see what is it that you want. Don't just like, you know, I'll be appreciated if I behave this way, although I'm not sure what I want. That's not sincere, nor is that self-honest. Be very clear. Be introspective and regularly introspect and see what is it, what is there in my heart besides I want a relationship with Krishna. There's lots of things inside there. So let me focus sincere, let me recognize that which says I want to be in a relationship with Krishna, loving Him and serving Him, and give attention there. Let me at least sincerely strive for that. And then Krishna will help you. That's the effort and mercy example.
संत प्रभु का क्वेश्चन है, जैसा महाराज ने बताया ब्राह्मण क्वालिटी के बारे में, तो यह प्रैक्टिकल लाइफ में अप्लाई करने में बहुत कठिनाई होती है।
जब जॉब में होता हूं या किसी मटेरियलिस्ट से डील करता हूं तो ये क्वालिटी अप्लाई करने में मुझे प्रॉब्लम होती है, इसे किस तरह से डील करना चाहिए?
Sant Prabhu is asking this question that...
It's a classic. You have a material life, you have a job, and the atmosphere is so difficult, how do we maintain sattvic qualities in that atmosphere? Go ahead, you answer the question.
वास्तव में देखा जाएगा तो महाराज ने इस प्रश्न को पहले एक और प्रश्न में उत्तर दिया है कि इसमें भी हमको ये जानना है कि हम यहां भगवान श्री कृष्ण को प्रसन्न करने के लिए हैं, हमें वो समर्थता है नहीं, हम कई बारी हम फेल होंगे अपने प्रयत्न में, पर हमको प्रयत्न करते रहना चाहिए। जितना हम प्रयत्न करेंगे भगवान श्री कृष्ण हमको बुद्धि देंगे कि हमारे जॉब की परिस्थिति में या परिवार की परिस्थिति में हम किस तरह से ब्राह्मण गुण से हम पालन कर सकते हैं। हमारे पास संग है, हमारे पास इतनी सूचनाएं मिल रही है, हम श्रवण कर रहे हैं, साथ में भक्तों का संग है, इतना सब हमको सहयोग है। इस सहयोग के साथ हमको अभी क्या करना है कि हमको प्रयत्न करना है। अगर हम प्रयत्न नहीं करेंगे तो ये संभव ही नहीं है।
Okay, saved us some time. Anything else? Yes. You're trying to make?
I'm trying to make
endeavors, okay.
But I'm not getting reciprocation accordingly. So,
really? Krishna doesn't... He doesn't jump, huh? So, what to do? As do many other people. Now, what to do? Yeah? Remember Mother Jasoda? And she's Mother Jasoda, by the way. Not you. She's Mother Jasoda. She's trying. She's endeavoring. But what did Krishna see that made him say, okay, you can bind me? It was her love. Not just, in many cases, I'll give two answers. In many cases, Krishna sees we're fruitive. Why would Krishna want to reciprocate, reward us when we're fruitive? Or mixed, but too much. Fruitive. The training that we received in material life is fruitive. The training says, you're smart, you're clever, you can do it. Just apply yourself. You can do it. And so we believe it. Yes, I'm smart, I'm clever, I just apply myself and I can do it. And wow, it happened. I get an A. Then I get, you know, 5 A's, and I get, you know, I just keep going and going. And so now I come into devotional service. You're smart. You're clever. You can do it. Just endeavor. And it's not happening. Krishna didn't give us an A. Why not? Because Krishna doesn't like the fruitive part of our consciousness. Oh. So now what do? Because I have this long habit. I got so many A's. I got so many awards and prizes and pats on the back and pats on the head and, oh, you're so good. You can do it. I have that so deeply built into me. Fruitive nature. Now how do I approach Krishna consciousness? With enthusiasm, but that's not fruitive. I have to go more deeply within myself and ask the question, what do I want? Do I want a pat on the back or the pat on the head or someone say, oh, you're good, you did it? Or do I want more, something more deep than that, than fruitive? Do you really want to just come to Krishna and serve Him for His pleasure? You have to go more deeply. To be a devotee, you have to be thoughtful. Prabhupada used this phrase, munishinam, muni, or thoughtfulness, munishinam. You have to be introspective and say, no, I don't want that fruitive. Even if I got the thing, does that bring happiness? No. What brings happiness? Purity. In a loving relationship, that brings happiness. So I have to pay the price. What's the price? Mother Jashoda. I continue to endeavor. Why? Not because I want to control my child or I want to get the thing that I'm supposed to get because I'm endeavoring. In Mother DeSoto's case, it's very high. I'm his mother. I must do this. Jiva Goswami writes, the elder gopis, they come along and say, Mother DeSoto, don't you understand? Just this morning, you tied a little string around his waist, didn't you? And it ran around his waist. And now you're trying with all this rope and it's not going around his waist. Don't you understand? It's not meant to happen. Just accept it. No. I have to bind Krishna. It's my duty. I'm the mother. It's my relationship with Krishna. Seeing that sincerity, Krishna allowed himself to be bound. Our endeavors may not be successful because they're mixed with fruitive intention and Krishna doesn't like that. Krishna wants our love. So we have to keep endeavoring and keep endeavoring and endeavor with just one motive, not the mixed motive, just to please Krishna. Think of Prabhupada. He risked his life to follow the order of his spiritual master. He came to America and nothing happened. He was endeavoring. Nothing happened. He was Prabhupada. But nothing happened. A whole year passed. And nothing happened. And then it started to happen. Now supposing nothing happened, what would Prabhupada's disposition be? No. Because what was the success? He was endeavoring to please his spiritual master. That was the happiness. That was the happiness. He never felt disconnected. He never felt discouraged. Although there was no result. Because he knew he was pleasing Krishna and pleasing his spiritual master. And then the results came so abundant he was amazed beyond his imagination. And Prabhupada thought very big, but it was even bigger than he thought. Why? Because Krishna was pleased. And that's the happiness, not the result or the no result. Is that Krishna is pleased by our offering of devotion and love that's unmixed. second way of saying the same thing. When you surrender unto Krishna, remember this phrase. When you surrender unto Krishna, please understand that you're surrendering on His terms, not yours. Another way of saying the same thing. You surrender to Krishna, Krishna, I'm yours. I have my expectation. I want it to look like this. But if it doesn't look like this, that's quite okay. Because it's on your terms. If we have our terms, then it's business. Krishna, let's make a deal. I'll serve you, and you give me this. Okay? It's a deal? That's not satisfying. That's not bhakti. When we surrender to Krishna, we don't... It's not... It's got to look like this or that. We just continue to try to please Krishna. Krishna sees that. And we'll feel happiness when we're surrendering to Krishna on Krishna's terms. And the outcome may be very, very different than you expected. And that's nice. Very important lesson. It's such an important lesson, you get to learn it many, many times. In many, many different ways. We've come to the material world to enjoy independently of Krishna. Now we're turning our attention to Krishna. And we still have this idea of enjoying. And this kartaham iti manyate, this doership mentality. That's absent in the spiritual realm. So Krishna wants us to give that up. Not give up endeavoring, but give up the doership mentality. It's hard to give it up. It's very deeply ingrained. But Krishna wants us to give it up. And He gives us the opportunity in devotional service. I'll end with this. One of the best ways to practice this is chanting. Because there's nothing fruitive about chanting. What accomplishment can one hope to get from chanting? I did it. I chanted. Or I chanted with attention. Try to chant with that spirit. You can't chant attentively with that spirit. It has to be a whole other spirit. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, when you call out to Lord Nityananda, please deliver the holy name, the pure holy name. Let that pure holy name touch my heart, enter into the chamber of my heart. And when you're chanting in that way, the holy name then resonates within the heart, and then the sound that comes out, that's the pure holy name. That's chanting. It's only by this descending. So endeavor is, it sounds contradictory. It's receiving, but striving to receive mercy. That's the art of spiritual endeavor. We shouldn't be lazy, complacent, or, you know, just wait for Krishna to be merciful. We're making endeavors. It's my answer is another answer to the similar. It's the words are different, but the message is the same as this other one of trying to develop a certain quality. We make some endeavor, we
are eager for mercy. And if Krishna doesn't deliver mercy, apparently, like that, that doesn't mean we're getting purification in another way. Our fruitive tendency is being dissipated if we're going to continue being enthusiastic. Same thing stated in a different way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in Utsahan Nischayat Daryat, you know that verse, Nectar of Instruction? He says that even the first one, Utsahan, enthusiasm, you cannot sustain it without a spiritual conception. Enthusiasm is very similar to endeavor. Endeavor with enthusiasm. How can you sustain endeavor, enthusiastic endeavor, without a spiritual conception? You won't. Because you're expecting something material. And that's not the platform of devotional service. The platform of devotional service is for pleasing Krishna. What's Krishna pleased by? Results? Love and devotion. Love and devotion is without condition. It's on Krishna's terms. It's a wonderful lesson. It's the difference, it's one of the major differences between the material and spiritual world. Unconditional service. Krishna, you don't have to give the result. That's okay. Give the result. Just overwhelm me with the result. Doesn't matter, as you wish. That's our teaching. You can embrace, crush me with your embrace. You can neglect me. You can trample me. Whatever you like. That's a high position, but that's Mahaprabhu. For us, it's just striving, learning to strive without fruitive intention and without doership mentality. Just serve. Why? Because that's who we are. We're constitutionally servants of the most loving master. And that's our happiness. Being in that relationship of serving and receiving whatever mercy he wants to give. That's happiness. Hari, Hari.